The next morning I woke early and walked outside. The rain had stopped, and the sun glowed behind a bank of clouds. Pine woods stretched beyond the honey house in every direction. I could make out about 14 beehives tucked under the trees in the distance, the tops of them postage stamps of white shine. The night before, during dinner, August had said she owned 28 acres left to her by her granddaddy. A girl could get lost on 28 acres in a little town like this. She could open a trap door and disappear. Light spilled through a crack in a red-rimmed cloud, and I walked toward it along a path that led from the honey house into the woods. I passed a child's wagon loaded with garden tools. It rested beside a plot growing tomatoes tied to wooden stakes with pieces of nylon hose. Mixed in with them were orange zinnias and lavender gladiolus that dipped toward the ground. The sisters loved birds, I could see. There was a concrete birdbath and tons of feeders, hollowed-out gourds and rows of big pine cones sitting everywhere, each one smeared with peanut butter. Where the grass gave way to the woods, I found a stone wall crudely cemented together, not even knee-high, but nearly 50 yards long. It curved on around the property and abruptly stopped. It didn't seem to have any purpose to it. Then I noticed tiny pieces of folded-up paper stuck in the crevices around the stones. I walked the length of the fence, and it was the same all the way, hundreds of these bits of paper. I pulled one out and opened it, but the writing was too blurred from rain to make out. I dug out another one. Birmingham, September 15. Four little angels dead. I folded it and put it back, feeling like I'd done something wrong. Stepping over the wall, I moved into the trees, picking my way through little ferns with their blue-green feathers, careful not to tear the designs the spiders had worked so hard on all morning. It was like me and Rosaline really had discovered the lost Diamond City. As I walked, I began to hear the sound of running water. It's impossible to hear that sound and not go searching for the source. I pushed deeper into the woods. The growth turned thick, and sticker bushes snagged my legs, but I found it. A little river, not much bigger than the creek where Rosaline and I had bathed. I watched the currents meander, the lazy ripples that once in a while broke along the surface. Taking off my shoes, I waded in. The bottom turned mushy, squishing up through my toes. A turtle plopped off a rock into the water right in front of me, nearly scaring the Lord Jesus out of me. There was no telling what other invisible creatures I was out here socializing with. Snakes, frogs, fish, a whole river world of biting bugs, and I could have cared less. When I put on my shoes and headed back, the light poured down in shafts, and I wanted it to always be like this. No T-Ray, no Mr. Gaston, nobody wanting to beat Rosaline senseless, just the rain-clean woods and the rising light. Let's imagine for a moment that we are tiny enough to follow a bee into a hive. Usually the first thing we would have to get used to is the darkness. Exploring the world of social insects.